it's Monday the 25th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and I'd like to say sorry to the royal family for nothing at all. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we grab a selection box of deliciously newspapery treats. We munch through the nutty tabloids, try to enjoy the worthy salted caramel of The Guardian, and feel slightly sick after all the fragrant squishiness in the middle of the Mail and the Times. And thank you to everyone who's joined up to our Papercuts Supporters Club. We're hugely grateful for your support, especially as we know times are tough. And if you'd like to help us without spending any money at all, then why not send a text or a WhatsApp to three of your friends saying why you love Papercuts, along with a link to papercutsshow.co.uk and maybe a cute picture of a little baby hedgehog being rad on a skateboard. And then they're bound to subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Game of Thrones. Papers say sorry for slating Kate. This woman's work. French feminist tells women to down tools for a better life. And we all love being spooned. Yet another pro Wetherspoons article from the posh press. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where if we don't have a deadline, we don't do knob all. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is comedian and one-third of award-winning comedy power couple with a new podcast, How Was It For You? It's Marcus Brigstocke.
A third? Morning.
Hi, Marcus. And also with us is comedian and host of slightly older rival podcast, Non-Censored, who has a tour starting on 11th of April. It's Rosie Holt.
Hello.
Hi, Rosie. So what have we got on the front pages today? Rosie, you have the serious ones.
I've got the serious ones. So UK's nuclear defence boost to protect against Putin is on the eye. They also have, if you want something more serious, they've got marrying a black man revealed my prejudice in the life section.
So whoa. That's good. Okay. Yeah.
She looks really happy about it. The Daily Telegraph says China and Russia behind slurs on princess. Yes, I thought that was rather exciting.
Nice picture though.
Yeah, really.
How
nice picture. Also, is that a painted picture? I know this is
AI.
Oh, don't stop this again.
Is it real?
How could you after this weekend?
Did China and Russia paint this? I don't know.
Lovely Kate.
And then the Times is the princess privacy and the pressure of being Kate. And then Beijing blamed for malign cyber attack on election watchdog. Mm. And then The Guardian is suspects appear in court accused of Moscow attack that left 137 dead.
Okay. And Marcus, what do you have?
Well, I've got the Daily Mail with Ascot and summer parties in Charles's sights. Insiders say royals will come back stronger. Which is really wild supposition, and insiders means no one has said that. The Sun, China hack attack on UK. So Chinese hackers accessed the personal details of 40 million UK voters in an assault on our democracy. Battle for the boozer. Pubs call time at 8 p.m. This is the Daily Mirror. A third of landlords are forced to close early due to costs and lack of custom. Not so in Wetherspoons, which we'll be talking about in just a moment. They apparently had opened for 24 hours. I had no idea they were also somewhere you could sleep. Overnight, I mean, I've seen people sleeping there, obviously. We've all seen that. And finally, the Daily Star, proud to love animals. The Daily Star joins the gold rush, hunt for $4 billion in sunken ship.
Yay.
This is stunning, even by the Star's standards. Your Daily Star has joined the hunt for a sunken galleon pack. Basically, the Star has become the Goonies. Delightful. It's so upbeat. It's so hopeful. And weirdly, even though I'm not helping search for $4 billion in a sunken ship, I feel like I'll be included somehow.
But well, they said that if they find it, they'll buy us a drink or something. Look, there's a nice pirate
on
the front.
Yeah, he looks really happy.
With a little dog also dressed as a pirate.
Let's be clear, though. The pirate that they've got, who is a bloke, is not really wearing a pirate costume. He's wearing an Austrian beer lady. What are they called? Right? I'm not lying.
Yeah, he's got a bodice on, hasn't he?
He's wearing the female equivalent of Lederhosen that they serve
Maybe Oktoberfest. That's what pirates wore.
I think that's just what they had in the cupboard, isn't it?
What a way to get cancelled. To just simply to explain what a pirate was wearing. They're like, yeah, Brigstock went all in on the gender wars.
Now, on various front pages today and over the weekend is what we might call the fallout from the Princess of Wales announcement late on Friday that she's got cancer, rather than say she's got a highly trained fleet of smart bomb lookalikes or an extra arm. Marcus, what are the papers saying?
Well, the papers are saying everything there is to say still, despite spending most of yesterday going, I think now is a time for reflection and perhaps a bit of quiet. And the front page today, here's a massive picture of her and more of what we think about it. So the Telegraph have gone quite heavy on the idea that China and Russia were behind the slurs on the princess. It says China, Russia and Iran are fueling disinformation about the Princess of Wales to destabilise the nation. Mm. And I think, for what it's worth, that if a nation can be destabilised by people circulating rumours about Princess Kate, we deserve to be. we absolutely deserve to be. I mean,
I feel very unstable. I'm very unstable.
I nearly tipped over on the way here. This is all so strange, right? Setting aside a mum of three who's in a place where she cannot ever hide from the press, as we've seen, who's had abdominal surgery and is now having chemotherapy, right? That is a whole catalogue of terrifying stuff for her and her family to deal with. Everyone is insane. We're insane.
No, China and Russia are insane.
Sorry.
Not
Everyone's
us.
Been driven insane by external forces.
Yes.
I'm a father now to a 2.5-year-old who is just beginning to have what's called object permanence, right? So he can imagine a thing that he cannot see. This is why peekaboo works with babies, right? You hide behind your own hands and they're like, where on earth have you gone? Oh, you're back again. The whole nation has not got object permanence. Where has she gone? Peekaboo! In the most awful sense, right? But still peekaboo. Oh, there she is! It's so mad. And the thing about this stuff of China and Russia and Iran is I don't doubt for a second that there are lots and lots of people in those nations under the pay of their governments who are doing everything they can to destabilise. But there isn't, at least referred to in the Telegraph, who've led with it, any evidence.
No. Absolutely not. They just wanted to put a big picture of Kate on the front and that they thought that would be a good way of doing it.
Well, I think it's another way of going, it's not our fault.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It's not Telegraph readers that are saying nasty things about Kate. It's China and Russia.
And speaking of saying it's not our fault, Rosie, you have read the Sarah Vine article about Princess Kate, haven't you?
Yes. Mm. Sarah Vine did a very moving article where she said, we are all to blame.
What?
We are all to blame when it comes to Kate.
Yeah.
And she is a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Because she wrote a sort of, some might say, hysterical article last week for the Daily Mail where she said that, come clean, Kate, tell us what's going on. And now, of course, we realise that we are all to blame in recent nights of events, all of us. And it's really good that Sarah Vine has pointed that out.
So look, I mean, luckily for Kate and for Charles and for William, who is taking 3 weeks off for Easter, which I have to say, gee move.
Yeah, that's big. Easter's a 2-week holiday, tops.
Yeah, and he's taking 3 weeks off. I love it. Wow. Anyway, so the papers have given us other royals who are going to take on more duties. So Prince Edward is making a big bid for glory. The Telegraph says he's set to emerge as the royal family's leading man. And the reason why they think this is because they've interviewed a Balmoral gamekeeper nicknamed Massacre Masson.
Sweet Christ.
That's a man who knows what's going on.
Yeah, he's called Massacre Masson. He was nicknamed Massacre Masson by Prince Philip, so that's how bad he is. And he blooded all those poor little boy royals, including William. Anyway, Massacre Masson says that Prince Edward has got inner steel. So he's up there, right? Okay. But the Times has also said we should make way for the Duchess of Gloucester. But we don't know who she is.
Make way! Doesn't that happen in a Shakespeare play? Make way, the Duchess of Gloucester!
I just want to give you a little bit more information about the Duchess of Gloucester. She has never given an interview or courted publicity. The Times is literally kind of rubbing his hands and I've gone, come on. But she's patron to about 60 charities, including the Lawn Tennis Association, i.e. she gets Wimbledon tickets. And she's carried out more than 5,000 engagements, which sounds pretty good.
That's a lot of engagements.
In 40 years.
Wait a minute. I've done more than that. This has got King Ralph written all over it, hasn't it? There are minor royals going, making phone calls. I'm available. Just on Massacre Masson, can I just tell you a tiny, tiny story? So my dad knows somebody who was invited to go pheasant shooting at Balmoral. And he was not a very good shot, this bloke, and he didn't hit anything. And then after lunch, when he was quite drunk, he was given the best spot to shoot everything. And just as the drive began, Her Majesty the Queen arrived just behind him with her security detail. So he's now drunk, a bad shot, and nervous, and standing next to the Queen. And all of these pheasants come flying over, and he shoots, and he misses absolutely everything. And then just at the end of the drive, they blow a whistle to indicate that the drive has ended. A bird came over quite low and less quickly than the other pheasants. And he lined up his gun, bang, and he hit it, and it went down with a thud. And from behind him, he heard the Queen say, "At Balmoral, we don't shoot after the final whistle. And as a general rule, we don't shoot owls."
No!
So the slow-moving bird had been one of the very few owls still on Balmoral. Could you imagine? Awful.
Now, in the Telegraph over the weekend, there was a delightful interview with a French feminist author called Corinne Meyer, where she urged women to be more selfish. Rosie, you and I enjoyed this piece greatly, didn't we?
It was great.
She was so good. What was she saying?
She was saying motherhood is a trap and marriage is a bad deal. And that women have to release their inner slacker woman.
Yeah.
I love it. It was a call to arms for women to be lazy. But not just to be lazy, but also to be assertively lazy. That's what I liked about it. The favourite thing I liked was, she said, how to speak at length without being interrupted.
Go on. How'd you do that?
So what you do...
And does she say how to do it with a man in the room?
What you do is you speak...
Because that makes
it
more
low
difficult.
..in a low voice and you continue talking.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
right. I got it
right.
Worked.
There you go.
Incredible.
That's what you do.
I even manspread while you were doing that.
Yes, she's amazing. She gives the thing that's really good about her is that she basically gives you top tips on how to be selfish, because women are so used to being empathetic that she's just like, no, do this. And one of them is that start interrupting your husband when he speaks over you. And there's a quote, isn't it? There's a really brilliant quote. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything about the subject. If it interests you, it's a legitimate excuse to start pontificating.
But I think that's how men think. I don't want to get all I'm aware there's two women here and one man, and you're in an unfair disadvantage. But I think that's what men do anyway, don't they? What do you think, Marcus?
Well, I mean...
move on.
Let me be clear and say I'm not at a disadvantage.
I'm sorry, Marcus, I'm going to talk now.
Now, look, this is... Oh, my God, I've suddenly realised what this must have felt like. Awful.
That's great.
No, she's entirely right. And if you're interested, of course you should join in.
Yeah, it's completely brilliant.
Thank you.
No, I didn't mean you.
No,
I meant one.
Thank you. No, I've realised now that it's not that I need to interrupt more. It's just that I needed the permission of you.
Exactly. And what's more, this permission counts extra because I went to boarding school. And friends of my father shoot near the Queen. Do you think her Frenchness was much of a factor in this? Because the bits I read, I didn't read it all. I couldn't. It was too hurtful. The bits I read, I was like, this is the Frenchest thing I've ever read.
Yeah, because also she makes being lazy sound sexy. It always sounds sexy when it's French, isn't it?
Yeah, she does. She does say some really brilliant stuff. Like the bit I really love, where she goes, I really did find raising children appalling. The accumulation of all the tasks and responsibilities. And to just hear someone someone say that,
yeah,
you're just like, yeah, you're right. It was really difficult. It's really hard. Anyway, I want to go into her techniques a little bit more. So we've got start interrupting your husband. She says you need an ego box.
Yes.
That's great. It's a room of your own, preferably out of the house, but obviously most people can't afford that. So if you can't afford it, just find some space in the house, maybe kick your kids out of their bedroom and put a lock on that door and that's yours.
I love it.
So what, to go into and
to
just
go into
some...
and ignore people.
It's just for you.
Marcus.
Lord.
I think it's called a man cave quite often.
Yeah, I was going to say. I can't believe how much she's given away.
I mean, the whole thing is, she says you can't achieve happiness without selfishness, which is a really nice thing.
Yeah.
You need to stop feeling guilty about being selfish.
Yeah, exactly. And she basically says that what you should do is, you embrace strategic incompetence. If you don't want to do the weekly shop, just buy loads of stuff no one wants to eat and let it go moldy in the fridge. And just don't do it. Somebody else will have to do it. Marcus, don't look at that.
No, this is literally what Rachel does.
Go, Rachel.
Hello, I'm Ros Taylor with news of Oh God, What Now?, the politics podcast that's never going to leave its voter ID at home. On Friday's show, it's 6 months until the US election and Donald Trump is stuck sitting on trial in a New York courthouse. Is he bulletproof or can Joe Biden turn around the polls? In the second half, it's local elections week, but we've steadily taken power away from local authorities. What if we gave it back? And in the extra bit for supporters, is there a right level of ruthlessness in politics? That's Oh God, What Now? With me, Ros Taylor, Raphael Baer, Hannah Fern, guest Nikki McCann Ramirez, out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now it's time for Fix the Headline. You all know the score by now. Fix the Headline is where we find an excellent story with a lame-o headline and we ask you, our wonderful Paper Cuts listeners, to think up a better one. And on Friday, we found one in The Star about a couple who got scared when CCTV appeared to show a ghost trying to steal their very expensive Audi TT. The Star's headline, the frankly dull ghost tried to steal our car. Well, we knew you could do better, and you did. On X, Dave Martin and quite a few others gave us Polterheist. Very good. Max Harvey offered Grand Theft Haunto. And Daniel Van Bursen, Where's Macabre?
Nice. I love how stretchy those are.
Yeah. Very stretchy. On Threads, Mr. Chris Mead tried Boy Wraither. See, it's a ghost race.
Yes, yeah, right. And you have to think about that one. I like it.
Jack Eddie 2000 had a go with Ghoul in 60 Seconds, and Daniel in Cornwall offered Invasion of the Audi Snatchers. But the winner is The Emperor's New with The Phantasm and the Furious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Take the week off.
Gone. Godspeed you, new emperor. Just send us your address and T-shirt size and a lovely Paper Cuts T-shirt will soon be yours to the envy of all your friends. Now, what about today? Have we got any good headlines? Marcus, what have you got?
Well, this is a beautiful picture in The Star. This is a Specsavers delivery van. And it's driven over one of those bollards that goes up and down to stop you going into a high street. And the bollard has come up beneath the Specsavers van and tipped it over. It's brilliant. And they've just gone quite straight with, book an eye test, pal. Which is sort of up there with, you know, people who've crashed or been pulled over by the police and people pulling over and going, can't park there, mate. Which is one of my favourite things. But this is the best. So the owner of a runaway Rhea, which is a type of bird, it's an ostrich-like bird with an incredibly powerful kick, has warned people if they see his escaped Rhea, not to try and catch it for fear that you might get kicked. And the headline, obviously, is diarrhea warning.
Oh, wow.
Diarrhea warning.
Can I picture of it? It looks so pathetic.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it looks like a like quite a tall pigeon.
Yeah.
Lonely in a field. Right, Rosie, you've got The Sun, right?
I've got The Sun, and it's a story which is, this tiny show jumper is not horsing around as she easily sails over Olympic-sized fences.
Aww.
And it's very sweet. 7-year-old Ivy Thomas Cook, who is 3'11", clears the 5-foot fences with 17-hand trusty steed Ace. But the headline is Tiny Prancer.
Aww.
Hold me closer.
Oh, it's very sweet. Wholesome, I think, that one.
Yeah. And she's got a double-barreled surname, which means in the end she will be good at show jumping.
Yes, that's how it works. Well done, yes. Okay, then I've got The Mirror. So it's Gillian Anderson was pleased to bump into Emily Maitlis as she played her on TV. But the actress says the former Newsnight host had erected boundaries. That's because she went in for a hug and Emily Maitlis didn't really want that. Mm. Anyway, the headline is Gillian Anderson. No, I've messed it up. Wait, hang on. I'm nervous now. Gillian Anderson. Shun. No.
She's been shunned.
Gillian Anderson.
But she wasn't doing the shunning. That doesn't work at all.
But she's been shunned.
It should be Gillian Anderson.
That's how
I'd
it should
like
be.
To think that Sean Connery's read that and gone, I don't see what's strange about this.
Now, in the Sunday Times yesterday was a weirdly sweet article about national institution Wetherspoons. One intrepid writer with the amazing name Harry Wallop spent 24 hours in Wetherspoons, which we didn't even know you could do, and wrote in detail about what happened. So, Marcus, did you like this article?
No.
Oh.
I didn't. And I need to declare my... So I'm a snob, that's clear. Mm. But I also don't drink. Mm. So not only do I rarely go into pubs, I never go into pubs where drinking is the main or even sole focus for being there. And at night, when I'm coming back from gigs, where it's a Wetherspoons, they're the ones that make me nervous.
Yeah,
for people coming out. So I am firmly prejudiced against it. Oh, and also he looks like a sentient testicle and sentient is generous, in my opinion.
Do you mean the writer or do you mean
no,
the owner?
I mean Sir Tim Martin, Brexit backer, who says no politics in my pubs and then had all his beer mats printed with Vote Leave.
Yeah.
But I didn't, because I just think anybody who has my view, a sort of snobby, don't want to go there view of Wetherspoons, would read it and go, yep, I'm correct. And anybody who drinks there would go, yeah, there we go. That's what I like about it. Fundamentally, this is a two-line article, which should be, I went to Wetherspoons for ages because it's cheap. People who go here like it because it's cheap.
Yeah. And I mean, they actually say that in the first paragraph. Yeah. That basically, one person says, oh, we're only here because it's cheap. And then the other person, though, quite doggedly says, no, we're all happy to be here. There's nothing wrong with spoons. For a student to drink anywhere else would be ridiculous. And then somebody vomits over a table.
Yeah. Vomit is mentioned a lot.
Because it's a fun place.
Yeah.
It's a fun place where people do fun, crazy things.
Clearly, you know, the people, for the most part, who the journalist spoke to who were there are having a good time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, he interviewed someone who was there from Lymington in Hampshire. And this guy says, well, I mean, they feel it's just going to bring in the dregs of society. They assume everyone here is drinking beer at 8 a.m. And the journalist says, is that the case? And he replies, no, but I wouldn't bring my wife here.
I quite like this piece because, I tell you why, because I think that Harry Wallop did his job, which
he
is,
totally,
you know,
did.
He totally,
yes,
did his job, right? So he's in the pub and he's there all day. He talks to everyone. He makes his notes.
Because he does an hour by hour sort of section, yeah. You know that he is working every hour to talk to different people.
He is, and he's drinking the beer, which I think is probably not very nice. And then he stays in one of the 40 rooms above this particular Wetherspoons, which is in Birmingham. It's called the Briar Rose, £56 a night. And so he talks to construction workers who are there for breakfast. There is some drinking going on, which is slightly worrying when you think they're actually going to go and, like, say, build roads. But anyway, then there's a business meeting at 11:50 a.m. Two guys drinking double G&Ts. And then there's, like, at lunchtime, there's a lot of kids because it's half term and you can get a pizza for a fiver.
Also, the accommodation looks and sounds fine.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
people who stay there, by fine, I mean nice. Clean sheets, perfectly comfortable and all the rest of it. And I don't know, breakfast included, but breakfast, pretty good value. I learned lots from it. So one of the things, even within a small area, is that the price of drinks varies massively from pub to pub. Just in North London, right, a pint of Abba ale ranged from £2.43 to £5.20.
So you've got
to
shop about.
Just in one small area. I had no idea that was the case.
I feel like we should discuss the carpets, because this is the most important part of Wetherspoons other than the cheap booze, right?
Yeah.
The carpets. The swirly-whirly carpets.
Swirly-whirly. Even though there are people vomiting everywhere, you'd think that a carpet wouldn't be a good idea. But
these particular carpets
look like vomit anyway.
Exactly.
That's
the Vom Camouflage
range.
Yeah,
it's very, very clever.
Yeah. What I found about Wetherspoons is if you go in them, they're normally very big, and quite often they have a kind of like a kind of upstairs.
Yeah.
And there's carpet everywhere, and everybody's ensconced, and there's about four or five people around each table. And it just reminds me of being on a ferry. It's like a static ferry. That's what I think about Wetherspoons.
You're right, it is. It's like drinking on a ferry, which I haven't done in a long time.
It explains why everyone's swaying as well.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Marcus.
Thank you.
Thanks to Rosie.
Thank you.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show ad-free and with a special extra story at the end, which today is about sexy Irishmen, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? The link is in the show notes. And of course, our most excellent Papercut supporters get a shout-out on the show. Marcus, who have you got?
Well, I've got a hello, and you are as cool as the other side of the pillow, Patrick Morris.
Rosie.
Hello, and your hair is fab, Claire Fletcher.
Hi, and what a fantastic outfit, Emily Seaman. And we'd just like to mention a lovely listener's dog, Phoenix, who had to be put down last week. Russell tells us that he and Phoenix cuddled and listened to the podcast in her final week, and it was magic. Oh, thank God John Elledge isn't here, or we would have drowned in his tears, to be honest. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when Mary Berry has revealed to the Daily Express that she was once arrested for drug trafficking while trying to carry several little bags of flour into America. Get the bags in, Mary. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Marcus Brigstock and Rosie Holt. The producer was Liam Tate, with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams. Socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison. The managing editor was Jacob Jarvis. And the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.